Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Haji as a guest. Haji is Japanese American leader at the Rooted Church, Cary, North Carolina. Hello, Haji. How are you?
Hi, Sammy. I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks so much for spending time for this podcast. I'm so excited to get to know you and get to know your vision and your observation about Japanese Americans and Japanese Christians in the United States and beyond. So in this episode, we want to know more about your personal story.
Perfect.
Yeah, so Haji, can you tell us about your family?
Sure. So I'm, well, firstly, I'm married to my beautiful and lovely wife, Jenny. She's kind of similar to me in the sense that she's this 1.5 generation Chinese American. And I was born between my fully Japanese parents in Japan. My father was a full-time pastor, and my mom was a retired nurse when I was born. And yeah, so I kind of grew up as pastor's kids in Japan. And when I was 1 or 2 years old, I came over to the States and ever since kind of grew up here. I also have two younger sisters, Yuki and Saki. And yeah, I was just up there actually this week celebrating my youngest sister's graduation. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, it was good spending time with family.
Awesome. Great. So is your father still pastoring in the church?
That's right. Yep. So after he moved to the States, he became a pastor at a church in New Jersey, and he still is pastoring up there to a Japanese congregation up in New Jersey.
Okay, great. Haji, how did you become a follower of Christ?
So I grew up in the church. So a lot of the church stories and all of those things came rather naturally to me. I was a little bit of a rascal in the sense that I created some headaches, I think. I wasn't necessarily the nicest kid in terms of, you know, playing with other kids my age. So I was very acutely aware of the fact that, you know, I was a sinner, that I had, there was brokenness in my life, ever since from probably a very young age. So all of that gospel story of forgiveness, that forgiveness portion, came very naturally to me ever since I was young. So I think I prayed the prayer when I was six, if you will. But I think it was just from there, just a natural progression of a lot of people really pouring time and spending time with me. In a Japanese church, it's rather small. My congregation was about, I would say, 60 to 100 people, I would say, growing up. And but we were blessed with men in our church that would continue kind of, and men and women that would continue to pour into me when I was in, you know, elementary school, middle school, and even throughout my high school days. So it really was a time, a lot of natural growth, I would say, as I spent time with people. And another encouragement, I think, that during that time when I was in youth group was, it was also coincided with a time when the Columbine shooting happened in 1999. And there was a testimony of one of the ladies that fell into being a victim at that shooting called Rachel Joy Scott. And I think a lot of our ministry was really encouraged and touched by the ways that she lived her life as a student when she was in school before the shooting, but also as, you know, things continued to come out about how she lived her life, and also even, you know, in her last moments on this earth, how she just continued to declare her faith. It was just really moving, and to a lot of us, just something that felt like, what is this faith that she had? And it was just very compelling. So there was a good number of us in our youth group that kind of was inspired by her and really wanted to kind of dig deep into getting to know God and living our lives out as students where we can at that moment. So I was really blessed. That's all I can say, with people from so many different directions that poured into me. I had a good group of people that I can grow up with, and even people, you know, just people that almost are like passing that baton, one life to another. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit of how I grew up as a follower in terms of discipleship and obedience and making life decisions, you know, mm-hmm. based on where God might be leading me. I think that, you know, happened throughout college and as, you know, again, God put people in my life, like my roommate that challenged me, or eventually my wife that would challenge me on a relational level and kind of consider what it means to obey Christ and follow Christ in the day-to-day decisions, daily life as well. So that's a little bit, that was probably a long-winded answer, but...
Oh, that's great.
A little bit about how follower.
Harji, what's your life verse?
Oh, my life verse. Yeah, my life verse, I always come back to, that's an interesting, I always come back to Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the person's hearts, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. That's one that I just feel like I see it as a truth and literally unfolding in the life of many others, but also in my life as well. So that's one big one. And I have others that if I can probably name, but I'll leave it to that for now.
Okay. Who is the biggest influence in your life to grow spiritually?
Yeah, I'm going to cheat here, Sammy. I'm going to cheat here. I'm going to say my father for sure. I have a good relationship with my father now, and I would say I had a good relationship with my father throughout my life, but there was a moment in time when I was growing up, in our high school particularly, where, you know, there were some difficulties within the church, and there was a portion of the church that I kind of left the church and you know, chose to worship and kind of worship elsewhere, essentially, right? And in that time, the implication of that for me personally was that I lost a lot of my friends that were in the youth group that I mentioned earlier about, that I really felt were my dear brothers and people that I've developed really close relationships with, friendships with, and I leaned on them a lot for my faith and my walk as well. But so I definitely blamed my father for a lot of things during that time, but I, at the same time, that's when I saw, I think, it's interesting being a pastor, you get to see your dad in your element and working. I think that's kind of unique being a pastor's kid, but I saw him just wrestle with the Lord and being humbled, but also being faithfully doing what he can and serving the ministry and shepherding his congregation. And to me, just his posture and his attitude was, just spoke volumes to me more than anything. I think it really is true that in those difficult moments is when you really see a person's character and you know, what that person is really about. And that was something that I think really stood out to me as a kid, as something that I wanted to kind of aspire to as well, in terms of just attitude and just humility and serving both the Lord and his flock. So to me, you know, he's a huge inspiration to me. But another, I would say, is another pastor, a Japanese pastor that's pastoring in the Princeton area in New Jersey, also in New Jersey. He really modeled to me what it means to really sit down and really get to know someone and being Jesus to that person. He's the one that, during that difficult time, really sat down with me, took me into his home, and just spent time with me. Just wanted to get to know me, get to know who I am, and be able to counsel and minister to me. And that was just something that was really big in my life, to be known and by someone like him, and just to, yeah, have that privilege of someone just being curious to me, like, hey, I want to get to know you, was just a big deal to me. So in terms of how I envision and how I want to minister to others, he's been a big inspiration.
Harji, what are you most passionate about?
I think this kind of relates to my previous answer too. I think, to me, I like being a part of those moments where people encounter God, whether it be through scripture or really just someone sitting down and really counseling to that person. So again, I would say that, those are the moments. So right now, I think small group leading is what it looks like in a structured sense, but hopefully in a relational level and in a day-to-day level. It's just being there in those moments where, you know, either I can love on them,
mm-hmm.
Or really just get to know, make sure that the person knows that they're being seen and being known and that they're loved.
That's great. Now, how was your life growing up as second generation Japanese American?
Right. So growing up as second generation Japanese American. Okay. I think, so being a pastor's kid of a Japanese church, I was definitely heavily engrossed into the Japanese community. As in, you know, my dad was a Japanese pastor, so we would have people over all the time at my house, and there's a lot of Japanese that would be spoken around my home. So I would say that a lot of that, the Japanese side of my identity, I felt very connected to, just because it was around me all the time when I came back home. But with that said, obviously during the day, I'm speaking English, and I felt like I was, I very much felt like I was just like everyone else, interestingly, throughout the time when I was growing up, just because I came to the States at a very young age, I just didn't necessarily feel like I was particularly different from everyone, until I would say probably in middle school, mm-hmm. when people start forming cliques, and mm-hmm. obviously, I'm like, oh wow, a lot of people that are like me that are either Japanese or Korean or Chinese or a lot of East Asians around me. So I think that kind of opened my eyes, I guess, to the fact that I may be a little bit different. But I would say that throughout my childhood and my upbringing, I really felt like I was just constantly wearing those two hats of being Japanese in specific spaces and specific times, and at others I felt like I was also 100% American, Asian American, for lack of a better word. And yeah, it's weird to say, and it's hard to explain it. It just feels to me that I was 100% Japanese and also 100% Asian American in those respective contexts.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, when I go to Japan, for example, I definitely noticed when I was a kid that I definitely did not feel Japanese when I went back to Japan. And I think a lot of second generation Asians can probably relate a little bit to that. Just the feeling of being the other,
mm-hmm.
No matter wherever they go, mm-hmm. a little bit not feeling like they're 100% there as well. So that sounds like that contradicts exactly what I said just 3 minutes ago, but there was definitely an element of that, and my eyes were definitely open to that when I went back to Japan.
Was it because just because you did not grow up in Japan, or?
I would say so, yeah. I just didn't have the mannerisms, I didn't mm-hmm. you know, like get the jokes that people were saying, and sometimes I feel like when you're not able to laugh when everyone else is laughing, that's like 50% of the time, mm-hmm. when you feel like, oh wow, I'm an outsider, mm-hmm. not being able to share in those laughters and those moments, especially when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say so. I think a lot of it is just because I just didn't grow up there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that would be a big element.
Okay. Now, what would be the biggest difference between Japanese in Japan and Japanese Americans in the United States?
Yeah.
You touched on it a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I think whenever I think about this topic, I think about the phrase, the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. In Japanese, I think it's deru kugi o utareru. Which basically means, like, as a Japanese American, I think there's an element of collectivism that you kind of gather from your Japanese side, but there's definitely a level of individualism that you value as well, just growing up in America, right? And it's almost like the polar opposites. So you definitely feel like you're jumping in between these two worlds, whereas in Japan, Japanese people that grow up in Japan, I think very much have grown up in that society where you are kind of hammered down if you stick up and stick out. So from a second generation Japanese American perspective, that I'm speaking from, it does feel a little bit more for lack of a better word, a little bit more rigid, and you have to act a certain way, and you have to behave a certain way, and you have to be a certain person in those contexts, in those communities. And I'm sure you probably would be able to relate. I think it's similar across a lot of Asian cultures. But that, I feel, is a really big difference that I see, when, especially when I see people interacting in group contexts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it confusing, like, between this Japanese culture and Western individualizational culture?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, it's interesting. Because I would at times, you know, feel like, oh wow, like these people are super selfish when I'm in wear my Japanese hat and looking at, you know, my, you know, non-Japanese or non-Asian friends, for example. Because I don't know, when you're in that community, you're constantly thinking of what others are thinking of you, how others perceive you. And it's, you know, hopefully, I like that part of America where you don't necessarily need to think about that entirely, that you can be a little bit more comfortable in your own skin. So I feel like there were elements where I saw myself objectively looking at myself that way, if that makes sense, and feeling like, yeah, I don't, it, what's the right thing to do? So in some sense, yeah, it was confusing. It was definitely something to that I had to navigate through and kind of try to make sense of my of it all, in context of how should I be interacting with people in different contexts, but also what's the right way to behave,
right,
if you get what I mean. Yeah, what's the loving way? What's the way that, what would Jesus do? Would he look a little bit more like Japanese, or would he look a little bit more American? I don't think it's either of them, and maybe it's probably more likely it's a little bit of both, but yeah, those were some things I think I had to navigate through, and it definitely was confusing at times.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing. In the next episode, I want to know more about your perspectives on Japanese Christians and ministries in the United States. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.